2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the continuation of Paul's statement, where he then tells us, after this great quotation, not losing heart, looking at things that are unseen, because we know they're eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Boy, isn't that good news? How beautiful heaven must be. We're not home yet, folks. We're on our way there. We're doing what God has intended for us to do. We have so many great songs, and as Nick led this good song this morning, how beautiful heaven must be. I don't know if you're aware of it, but probably the majority of those words come right out of Revelation chapter 21, where it tells us all about the new Jerusalem and about what heaven is going to be like. And if you look over there, we learn about 12 gates that are going to be pearly gates. That's where those references to the pearly gates, we're looking forward to that, aren't we, Jim? To be able to enter in where the Lord is calling us. And the city, we're told, has no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God has illumined it, or has made it light, so that light can be there, and he is its lamp. The lamp, of course, is the Lamb. And we know that there's nothing unclean that will ever enter into there. No one who practices the abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Wow, what a precious promise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his precious promises. Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. We know, for the word of the Lord is right. All of his truth is done in righteousness, or truth, some versions will tell you. The Lord, as you know, the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway, as the psalmist tells us over in Psalms 119, verse 105. We have all kinds of reasons to rejoice today, knowing how beautiful heaven must be. There's this great passage. I hope you'll learn it like we were learning the others. And even though we're not at home yet, we are God's children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, or the sons of God, if you're reading King James. The sons of God, or the children of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. They don't know us, because, you see, it knew him not. When you read on the, or see on the news, people denying the Lord and that he exists, or that we need God, we're seeing that more and more every day in our world. Don't forget these precious passages like this that encourage us about the promises that God gives us, and that we know that will be ours as our inheritance very soon. Beloved, verse 2 says of 1 John 3, 1 and 2, Beloved, now are we the sons, or the children, if you will, of God, and it doth not yet appear what we should be. You probably have asked that question. I wonder what we'll look like. Well, don't worry about it. It hasn't appeared yet what it's going to be like. But we do know this, because if you read on in the verse, we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, that we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. Now, you see, what's wrong with our world today is they don't see Jesus. They don't understand Jesus. We've got people saying that Jesus isn't perfect or wasn't perfect. We know different than that, don't we, brethren? So they can hear you at home. Say it again. Okay, amen. We know that Jesus lived life. Just go read Hebrews 4, verse 15, and you'll find out that our Lord was without sin. He never sinned. Even though he was tempted like as we are, as the Hebrew writer tells us. Right, Bob? He was tempted in the ways that we're tempted, and yet he was without sin. Well, I got a couple of questions as we talk about how beautiful heaven must be. You know, we can read that sort of, I'm going to say, physical description that was given, or that is given, especially in the book of Revelations. There's lots of different passages that talk about what heaven is going to be like and what it looks like. But that's from the eyes of John as he's writing them. And remember, he's trying to communicate to us that are not able to see, I'm going to say, what it's actually like spiritually. Just what is it that you might know about heaven? I like what the Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and at verse 3. He says, for we, that means us, okay, because we're like them, believers, for we who believe have entered into that rest. Do we have any nap takers? Rosemary was the first one to raise her hand. There's just something about getting a little rest, isn't it? You know, that afternoon power nap for about 3 hours, that's what it takes to charge me up anymore, Jim. Used to be, you know, 20 minutes would be great. Now I need the covers and I need a pillow and a dark room. I'm kidding. Not really quite that bad. But rest. I mean, we're going to a place where we will never have to be tired again. We're going to have great rest. And as we heard at our memorial service, Travis, they brought out John chapter 14, and that's where we very often go at a memorial service, about the great promise that's being made, that Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. Because, you see, there are many mansions, newer versions say, many rooms in heaven, to explain for us that there is lots of room for people to go to heaven. We're going to have our mansion. We're going to have our rest. And we're going to have a great mansion. And we're told that things are very secure there. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Isn't that right? Why? Because moth, rust, well, they creep in, they destroy, don't they? But not so if you lay up your treasures in heaven. Lay them up in heaven where the moth and the rust do not enter in and destroy. We're going to have a secure place to live. I just saw our security officer, old Dave. He's roving around today. He's out there making sure there's nobody out in the foyer or nobody trying to get in. He's our security force. And believe it or not, Roger Poback, he's helping him out. He's looking at things. That's the way we are today. We realize that we need security in other things. We need to have a way to look out. In fact, you can drive down in your neighborhood and people have signs out in their yard, don't they? And said, this place is protected by this security company. Or maybe they just have a dog. That's the old country way, isn't it? That's why we got the dog. The dog would let us know somebody was coming. The dog would bark. That's a good thing. The Bible tells us that heaven is a better place. It's a better country. You can read that in Hebrews 11 and verse 13. It's a better place. Heaven is a better place. It's the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, like we were reading from verses 1 through 3. It tells us that's when we'll be home with the Lord and that we can be secure there. That the things that are there are the incorruptible things. They are the eternal things. And I'm just saying all of that to say to you, I'm wondering that when you think about heaven, do you just think about the description of what I'm going to call the temporal things? Streets made of gold. How many of you would like to see a street of gold? I mean, I'd like that. I don't mind looking at that. I don't mind looking for the pearly gates. I don't mind looking for the precious stones that build or are the foundation upon which the new tabernacle is, as is mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 21. That's wonderful to know about. But the really important things, Jim, are the things that I know are the best for my soul. For my life in eternity with my Heavenly Father. These are marvelous things. And I'm just trying to remind us of that in these troublesome times that we are living in. That just probably utterly confuse you, worry you, concern you, because these things are going on that have never gone on before. We've never seen people misbehave like this and get away with it. And yet we're seeing it. Just remember, we're not all the way there yet. We're not home yet. It doesn't mean we don't have the Lord with us. When we are present in the body, we are absent from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. That just means we're not with Him. What are the great blessings that heaven brings for us? You already know that it would be salvation, of course. Heaven is all about being saved. We can have the likeness of Christ. We're told there'll be no sickness there. There'll be no, it will be a place where there's no sin. It'll be a sinless place. Won't that be wonderful? And we don't ever have to worry about being fed. The Lord will take care of us. It's kind of like a church potluck, ain't it? Now, I know every once in a while we run out of that fried chicken that everybody's getting their hands into. I know. Go. You got to get in line in the front. You need to follow the preacher. You know, follow his example. Get up there first. You want that fried chicken, you want that leg, or you want that wing, or you want that breast, or whatever it is that you want. Jim likes the neck, isn't that right? Bobby, he likes the feet. But we all want that favorite piece, but there ain't going to be any hunger there. We're going to be with Jesus the Lord. And we're going to have our access to the tree of life, the water of life. We already read the statement. We're going to see Jesus as, we're going to know even as also I am known, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to know. We're not going to have to guess anymore. We're going to know the answers to our questions. And we're going to spend our time praising God. That's why He wants us to meet together in an assembly and praise Him. Because that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to praise the Lord. We'll understand the fullness of His glory and the idea of what eternal life is all about. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. That's what we've just read in these scriptures. How beautiful heaven must be. It's really about those particular things. I'll just tell you that when I think about where we are in our country, I mean where we are today, I don't know that I can make any predictions about our future. I'm so confused about the way folks thinking today and what people's actions are today. But I know this very much, this thing for sure. I know who holds the future. Hello? Out there? Do you know who holds the future? You see, God is the one who holds the future. And all of that centers around our faith. Because you see, faith is the answer to your fear. If you turn on the TV set and you get scared, what do? Turn it off. Get on your knees and pray. And let the Lord take away your fear. In Colossians 3 and 1, Paul writes, he says, "Since then that you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts, your minds, on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on these things above and not on the earthly things." Not on the things that, well, tweak our emotions, difficult for us to understand. Where are you putting your treasures? Are you being obedient to Matthew 6 and verse 20? "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves or lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth, the rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is," what does it say, brethren? "There will your heart be also." Do I need to? "There will your heart be also." I'm trying to get us focused back there so that we will have in our minds where our treasure really is. Where is your treasure being stored? That old gospel hymn of "This world is not my home." This is not our home, brethren. Our home is in heaven. We're not there yet, but we're on our way. We want to be there with him. I think there's a number of reasons why we don't always focus more about heaven. But the more we focus on the unseen, the less we will focus on the world. Are you with me on this? Think about that. The more you focus on what you can't see, that's what the Bible teaches us, doesn't it? On the things that are really important. It's more important to be an honest person even when people are not watching. Even when you do the job when somebody is not even there to see you get it done. We need people like that more and more today. Instead of thinking that when the boss is away, time to play. No, that's not it. That has nothing to do with what I ought to be doing. I ought to be doing what is my responsibility. And being focused upon the unseen helps me to do that. That's a great problem with us today. The more we would do that, I think the less we'd be attracted to the world. Here's what the Bible says, 1 John 2:15 and 17. "Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The one who does the will of the Father," or God, "lives forever." So what are you focused on? That's an important thing. Be focused upon heaven. Do you believe those words? Do you believe that you will live forever? You realize that we have a great blessing in the promises of God. Can you say no to the world? Paul says to his son in the flesh, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 10, "Do your best to come to me quickly." One of the things, Jim, I can't wait to be glad he gets there. You know, I want to just say, did you make it? Did you get there with that stuff? Paul was writing for him and said, Demas, he loves this world and he has deserted me. He has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. And only Luke is with me. I hope Luke didn't read this letter. He might have felt bad about that. Only Luke was with me. Now, I know that Luke was a great help to him. He wasn't meaning it in a negative way. Get Mark. Bring him with you. He is helpful in my ministry. My cloak I left at Carpus at Troas, or with Carpus at Troas. And my scrolls. His books. We've all probably had a Demas or two in our lives that have deserted us. Brethren, it's not the church's responsibility for us to grow in Christ. It's my responsibility. I'm supposed to be the one focused on heaven. The more we focus on heaven, the less we will focus on the world. Let me ask you this question. I know the answers to them. I'm sure I do. Do you think we're getting better and better as a nation, or worse and worse? Don't speak. Just mull that over in your mind. Things better now than what they used to be? I mean, people in general. Do you think, brethren, that there's too much world in the church or in you? I know this, there's not enough church in the world. And the only answer to that is you and me. That's the answer to it. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Or this world is not my home. You know, I think that very often, brethren, that we think that Satan is stronger than we are. And that would be true if it were only us. 1 John 4 and verse 4. Get in your Bible and color that in. Put a star by it. Memorize it so you'll know it. Because you see, you are of God, little children. And you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You believe that? You're stronger than he is. Because you have Jesus Christ in you. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which of course is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Satan is not stronger than the Lord. He has already won the battle. And it is the Lord that is in you. Jesus said, if a man love me and he keeps my words, me and my Father will come into you. And we will come into him who believes that and make our abode with him. We must focus on the unseen things of heaven, because heaven is beautiful. We have a permanent hope regardless of what we go through on this earth. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says, for his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can, listen, never perish. An inheritance that never passes away. I'm not talking once saved, always saved. I'm talking about what God has prepared for you if you'll prepare to meet Him. So let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also on me, said Jesus. For in my Father's house there are what? Many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. How many believe Jesus left? Well, he said, if I leave, I'm coming back. That's his promise. I'll come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have a permanent place reserved in heaven for us, regardless of what happens here on the earth. I'm not talking about your life. I'm talking about what happens on the earth. Do you really want to go to heaven? Can you really see the beauty of heaven? It's the only place we'll ever be trouble-free. It's the only place where we can just kick back and relax, because we know that God has taken care of us. We live in a dangerous time, and I know that you know that. We're going through struggles in our country about all of that. But I'm trying to encourage you to remain faithful to the Lord, because God is still in charge of everything that is going on. You don't need to be worried. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what Paul tells us in Philippians 1:21. He said, I was kind of caught in between. I plan to preach till the day I die, Jim. I really do. I don't mean I'm planning today, but that's what I'm here to do, is to preach. And that's when the Lord will come for me. Focus on heaven. Long to be there. The greatest thing you can do is to tell your children what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let me encourage you to do that. All of you at home, I hope you're still there and you're not sleeping or taking a nap on the couch. I hope you've heard these things. Hope they will encourage us to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Remember how beautiful, how great it's going to be in heaven, and how great it is here, how much better it is here, because we are God's children right now. Amen.